Our scripture reading today is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the stream comes from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eyes never have enough of seeing, nor the ears its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of the madness and folly. But I learned that this, too, is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mercy, for reading for us. And let me add my welcome as well, especially if you are visiting us today. We are a church that believes that Jesus is Lord and that the Bible is his word. And he speaks through his word to us. My name is Nick. I'm associate minister here at the church as well. It'd be really helpful for me if you can keep that passage open in front of you as we seek to hear what God has to say through it. And let me pray as we begin. Father Jesus told his disciples that all of Scripture points to him. So we want you to help us to see how Ecclesiastes points us to the Lord Jesus today by your Spirit, and we pray that in his name. Amen. So, one of my favorite films is The Princess Bride. Have any of you seen The Princess Bride? Any of you? Hands up. Seen The Princess Bride? Some of you? Okay. If you haven't watched The Princess Bride, I do recommend it. It's a wonderful film, a wonderful family film that I think never gets old. If you have seen it, you'll remember it's about a boy who's at home in bed because he's too sick to go to school. And his mum tells him that his grandfather has come to visit him. And he isn't very thrilled about that because he'd rather just carry on playing computer games. He isn't actually all that sick. Maybe that sounds familiar to some of you who are parents. His grandfather brings him a present, which turns out to be a book. And he's even less thrilled about that. A book! he says. His grandfather reads him the story. And though at first he's skeptical, gradually the story captivates him so that at the end of the film, the boy says, "Grandpa, maybe you could come over again tomorrow and read it to me again." Many new Christians, especially, feel even more skeptical about the book of Ecclesiastes, which we're beginning this week. Some young Christians even question, you know, why is this even in the Bible? It's so depressing. such a depressing book. It's so bleak, isn't it? Everything is meaningless when you come to read it. What's all this about life being meaningless? How does that fit with the message of the rest of the Bible? There doesn't seem to be much hope in it. But actually, this book is part of the scriptures that Jesus said were all about him. They all point to him. And that is wonderfully true. It's part of what is called the wisdom literature in the Bible. And that's certainly been my experience, a bit like that little boy in The Princess Bride. It's been my experience over the years that this book, Ecclesiastes, has grown on me to become one of my favorites, actually, in the Bible. I found, like that boy in the film, that there is a really rich treasure in what it contains, such that I want to go back to it again and again and again. If I was going to sum up over the course of this series on Ecclesiastes, what's the one headline it has to teach us? It is to show us how empty life is without the resurrection of Jesus. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians that if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. In other words, if the resurrection isn't true, then life is meaningless. Ecclesiastes shows us the reality of that. So let's dive into this first chapter, if we can have the next slide. The key phrase in this passage, and in Ecclesiastes generally, I think, is under the sun. Under the sun. I want to talk about it under three headings. One, life under the sun is meaningless. Two, there is nothing new under the sun. But three, wisdom under the sun brings grief. Wisdom under the sun, Jesus, brings joy. If we can have the next slide. So firstly, life under the sun is meaningless. That phrase in the Hebrew, under the sun, occurs 28 times, quite unusual to Ecclesiastes. It occurs 28 times through the book. And it means in this life, in this mortal life. If this life is all there is, then life is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Maybe you've made New Year's resolutions this year. New Year's resolutions are usually something about being a better version of yourself. They're generally about improving your life, better fitness, better finances, better career. Ecclesiastes is saying that under the sun, all that is a waste of time. What are you doing it for? What profit? It's the word in the Hebrew. What profit? What profit is there in it? When in the end, you are going to die anyway. You work hard. You try to get a good education. You try to get a good career. You try to build your reputation. But for what? Ecclesiastes is saying. In the end, it will all be swallowed by the grave. Is it for your children? So will they. It's always very sad, I think, going to a secular funeral for me. You often hear people saying things like, well, that loved person will live on in our memories. But really, they won't for very long. Verse 4 says that generations come and go, but the earth remains forever. We like to think that our lives have a meaning and that we'll be remembered at least. But Ecclesiastes says that under the sun, that isn't true. Verse 11, no one remembers the former generations. And even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Life under the sun leaves us unsatisfied. Life is restless, incomplete, wearisome. We never get there. The promise of love, the promise of education, the promise of our work never really turns out to be true under the sun. We never really get there. Wherever our New Year's resolutions are meant to take us. And in verses 4 to 8, the teacher uses poetic images from nature to make that point. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. In verse 13, the teacher says, what a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. And as we go on in Ecclesiastes, we'll see that that burden is that as human beings, we have eternity in our hearts. We want our lives to have meaning. We want to outlive the grave. But under the sun and under the judgment of God because of the fall, because of sin in the world, that isn't so. We want our lives to mean something. We have eternity in our hearts, but we are frustrated. That is life under the sun. And next slide. This picture is of a special moment, actually, for Hannah and I, my wife. My favourite rock band is a Scottish group. Well, they've kind of finished now. They were a Scottish group called Runrig. We were fortunate enough a few years ago to go and see their last ever concert. They were very, very famous in Scotland, not so much in the rest of the world. Very famous in Scotland, but we went to see their last ever concert at Stirling Castle. They're still my favourite band because their songwriters were Christians, and they used the themes actually of Ecclesiastes a lot in their lyrics to make music about that heavy burden that God has laid on mankind, but also to point to the Christian hope of as well. So these are just examples of their lyrics, you know, using Ecclesiastes. There must be a place under the sun where hearts of old and glory grow young. They're trying to express a longing that surely this frustration, this wearisomeness isn't the final word about us as human beings. There must be a place under the sun where hearts of old and glory grow young. And then I began to see the sun and moon as I wandered round in orbit in this land that I called home. No Messiah up in the sky that I could ever see, that I could ever know to find my soul. All I had done below the sun would count for nothing in the turning of the world when there is nowhere left to go. You walk alone and the void eclipses it all. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless under the sun. Next slide. So who is this teacher? Who is the teacher in Ecclesiastes? Well, it's clear that it's Solomon. the son of David. Many of the commentators speculate that, you know, he calls himself the teacher, but there's a humility about him because he recognizes the ways in which he's fallen short. That's certainly Jewish tradition. But it's clear from the text that this is Solomon speaking. And of all people, he is most qualified to be telling us that life is meaningless, that this life really has nothing to offer us if it is all that there is, because he has tried everything that life has to offer. If New Year's resolutions are about career and finances and fitness, as we'll see as this book goes on, well, he was king. He was the great king over all Israel. His education and his wisdom were such, they were so famous, that the Queen of Sheba traveled from the ends of the world to see him. His harem was 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had all the wealth and education and pleasure and career that any man could possibly desire. And yet this is his conclusion. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Jewish tradition says that he was given prophetic insight to know that because of his sin, the kingdom would be divided between his sons and would end up being destroyed. Now, we don't know whether Jewish tradition is right about that prophetic insight, but we do know that those events bore out the truth of Ecclesiastes. For all his wealth, for all his wisdom under the sun, for all the might and splendor of Jerusalem under him, under the sun, it all came to nothing. The kingdom was divided and never regained its former place. Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, then Judah by the Babylonians, and the temple was destroyed. Next slide. So life under the sun is meaningless. And if that wasn't enough, even while we are under the sun, Ecclesiastes says, we can never really make a difference. We can never really do anything new or worthwhile. All the schools like mine, I'm a headmaster, those of you who are visiting, I'm the headmaster of a school. All the schools like mine that tell our students to go out into the world and make a difference, we're wasting our time because it's all been done before. Verses 9 and 10. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. We can have the next slide. As human beings, we love novelty. We want the latest fashions, the latest technology. We want the latest gadgets. We want the latest ideas. We want what is cool and what is trendy. But Ecclesiastes tells us that is all a chasing after the wind. I guess fashion is the one that always seems most obviously dumb to me. When I went to secondary school, you know, I was about 12. One of the really horrible things was discovering how mean other kids could be to you, and they were usually mean to you because you weren't cool, you weren't trendy. When I first started at my secondary school in England, it was really uncool to wear white socks. Okay, that was the really uncool thing to do. And you know, knowing no different, I wore white socks sometimes. People who did got terribly teased and bullied. White socks, what a loser! You know. A few years later, I was in my final year of that secondary school, and the fashion had completely turned around. So the really cool thing to do by the time I left was to wear white socks. And if you didn't wear white socks, you were a total loser. You know, it's an early image to me of the meaninglessness of fashion. What about technology? Surely Ecclesiastes isn't right about that. Well, again, I remember as a kid, we all wanted the latest computer game. In my day, you know, we're all hankered after the latest version of this really clunky, by today's standards, version of Space Invaders. Kids today would laugh at it. We were all really envious of the cool kids who had it. Today, it will be the latest iPhone, won't it? Or something like it. Everyone is currently thinking that AI, artificial intelligence, is a new thing. It's going to change the world. But Ecclesiastes says that's a chasing after the wind. Chasing after the wind doesn't change. And actually, the use of technology never changes. As C.S. Lewis said, the point of technology, which is our power over nature, always turns out to mean the same thing, which is the power of some people over other people with nature as their instrument. Technology doesn't deal with our sin. Technology doesn't deal with our sin. Verse 15, what is crooked cannot be straightened. The same is true of what is called new ideas. They never turn out to be that new. Do you remember Paul in Athens in the book of Acts? Acts tells us that all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That's what Acts tells us. But they are meaningless. They won't really change the world under the sun. Politics and economics are always trying to find a way to solve problems, to bring a kind of kingdom of man on earth. But to quote another Runrig song, so I love Runrig, these are lyrics from another song. Ideologies come, ideologies go, a waste of words, an endless flow. Ideologies come, ideologies go, a waste of words, an endless flow. Ecclesiastes teaches us something we find repeated in the New Testament. The creation has been subject to frustration. Have the next slide. That is the heavy burden that God has laid on mankind. That verse from Romans sums up where we've got to in what Ecclesiastes 1 is saying to us. The creation has been subjected to frustration because of sin. We should be encouraged that Ecclesiastes is telling us something that we know from Romans. And Ecclesiastes uses poetic imagery to express that. The cycles of nature, generations come and go. The sun rises, the sun sets, the wind blows, the streams flow. They symbolize these repetitive and unchanging patterns of life. The creation is subject to frustration. Human curiosity is never satisfied. We boast of new fashions, new methods, new hypotheses, but these are merely imitations. People's hearts and their corruptions remain the same. People's hearts and their corruptions remain the same. The desires, the pursuits, the complaints are unchanging. Ultimately, it all ends in death, and we won't be remembered. Have the next slide. So what's the answer? Still pretty bleak, isn't it? Is it education? Is education the answer? Well, no. According to Ecclesiastes, under the sun, that leaves you in a worse state than in being not educated. You can tell at this point that as a headmaster, that's pretty uncomfortable. But Solomon says, you know, he says in verse 13, he applied himself to education. He became the wisest king ever. What did it bring him? More wisdom, more sorrow, more knowledge, more grief. In other words, under the sun, education was a waste of time. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. If life under the sun is all there is, if the dead are not raised, then let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. All the philosophy and politics in the world cannot restore man's corrupt nature or cure sinful tendencies. Learning alone will not change the world's constitution of being subjected to frustration. But, as Christians, we do not live under the sun. We live under the sun, Jesus. What is crooked cannot be straightened under the sun, but on the cross, Jesus dealt with our sin, with the sin and frustration of the world, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have the next slide. Wisdom under the sun brings grief, but wisdom under the sun brings joy, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. 1 John, that first letter of John, teaches us that the vanity, the meaninglessness of the world is passing away. New Year's resolutions under the sun mean lusts that won't last and the pride of life. But if we live under the sun, Jesus, we have eternal life. Your next slide, please. Back to that Runrig song. Ideologies come, ideologies go, a waste of words, an endless flow. That song goes on. Ideologies come, ideologies go, a waste of words, an endless flow. But now you're here, speaking of God, I feel no fear. I can't believe the news from heaven. Life under the sun, Jesus, is not meaningless. There is a place under the sun, where hearts of olden glory grow young. C.S. Lewis wrote a famous poem taking up that theme in Ecclesiastes of the frustration of creation, that repetitive cycle never being satisfied. In the light of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, even that cycle points to him. Let me read Lewis's poem to you. I heard in Addison's Walk a bird sing clear. This year, the summer will come true. This year, winds will not strip the blossom from the apple trees. This year, nor want of rain destroy the peas. This year, time's nature will no more defeat you, nor all the promised moments in their passing cheat you. This time, they will not lead you round and back to autumn, 1 year older, by the well-worn track. This year, as all these flowers foretell, we shall escape the circle and undo the spell. Often deceived, yet open once again your heart. Quick, 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 quick. The gates are drawn apart. What's Lewis saying in that poem? That Ecclesiastes is in the Bible to help us understand the importance of Jesus' resurrection and what it has done for us, and not just for us, but for all of creation. What's the application for us? That without faith in Jesus, life is meaningless. With faith in Jesus, everything has meaning. We should rejoice with humility if we know Jesus as Lord, and we should seek to lead others to do so as well. God will make straight what is crooked in judgment and in mercy. In another famous sermon, Lewis said, "Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. Politics, economics, empires, these mean nothing. They mean nothing compared to the salvation of what we call ordinary people." He went on, "The load or weight or burden of my neighbor's glory should be laid daily on my back, a load so heavy that only humility can carry it, and the backs of the proud will be broken. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses," by which he meant people who will live forever, "to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, as John did with the angel in Revelation, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All human beings are heading to one of two destinations. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one of these destinations. It's in the light of these overwhelming possibilities. It is with the awe and circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. The only thing that matters, final slide, is if you are living under the sun or under the sun." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what it teaches us. Thank you for Ecclesiastes and its very clear picture of the frustration of the creation without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you came in mercy to save us and to redeem and renew all of creation, that you died on the cross for our sins and rose to life again on the third day. Help us who know that truth to share it and make it known to others. And we pray this for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Amen.